Hi, I'm Maggie Brennan, music director here at WCBE. We're excited to announce our new web exclusive, Live from Studio A Replay, where you can listen to some of our best Studio A sessions. We're dedicated to bringing you great music from around the world and from right here in Central Ohio. And that type of extraordinary service is only possible with your support. So please, consider making a donation of any amount by clicking the red donate button at the top of the page and keep the music going. And we thank you for your support.
Playing tune today.
Yes.
That's a first.
We're live in Studio A with Michael Franti and Trevor Hall. I'll stuck around to join him today. Hi, guys. Again, hi, Trevor. Hi, Michael.
How's it going, man?
Good. Nice to meet you and see you again. I met you a long time ago at Red Rocks,
but
it's been many years at a beautiful place, and I want to ask you something about that a little bit later on. But Michael Franti performs tonight at the Newport. Mm-hmm. Trevor Hall will open up. Doors are at 7 o'clock, and we'll do a ticket giveaway a little bit later on during this session. And tell us a little bit about this first song that you're going to play for us.
I haven't actually made up my mind, so I don't know what to say. But Trevor and I have been on the road now for a few weeks, and we've been playing some songs together, so I think we'll play the one that we've been playing a lot. We'll do that first to get it started. And it's a song called Anytime You Want Me, and I wrote it. I had a really dear friend, my closest friend, whose mother was passing away of cancer, and so we were going through that experience together. And this is a song that I wrote for her. It's just about our friendship and devotion to that friendship.
Beautiful.
In a city that burns so loud you can't hear a sound, the whole world drives by with the speakers on. Concrete apartments and the windows with a million other people, but still you just feel alone. Everyone's got a story but it's never told. Everyone needs warm when it's always cold. Everyone needs an ear just to hear the soul. Heart-shaped headphones to somebody you love when you need a friend, somebody to walk to, my friend, somebody to talk to. I'll be right there waiting for you. You-hoo-hoo. Anytime, anytime you want me. Anytime, anytime you need me. Anytime, anytime you want me. I'll walk right back over again. Anytime, anytime you want me. Anytime, anytime you need me. Anytime, anytime you want me. I'll walk right back over again. Like an animal, I would run through a jungle of criminals, through the valley of darkness and loneliness, out across the great abyss, just to grant a single wish. I might trip, but I'm never stumbling. I'm right there when your whole world's crumbling, swimming with the sharks just to find a sunken treasure. I'd give it all away just to hold you in my arms when you need a friend, somebody to walk to, my friend, somebody to talk to. I'll be right there waiting for you. You-hoo-hoo. Anytime, anytime you want me. Anytime, anytime you need me. Anytime, anytime you want me. I'll walk right back over again. Anytime, anytime you want me. Anytime, anytime you need me. Anytime, anytime you want me. I'll walk right back over and I watch the stars with a million other people. Oh, 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 with a million other people. And I watch the stars with a million other people. Oh, 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 with a million other people. I watch the stars with a million other people. Oh, 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 with a million other people. And I watch the stars with a million other people. With a million other people. In a city that burns so loud you can't hear a sound, the whole world drives by with the speakers on. Concrete apartments and the windows with a million other people singing. You, anytime, anytime you want me. Anytime, anytime you need me. Anytime, anytime you want me. I'll walk right back over again. Anytime, anytime you want me. Anytime, anytime you need me. Anytime, anytime you want me. Trevor, grab the mic and do what you like, yeah.
No time to think, Only time to feel what is real. Place your palms up to the sun so you can feel the heat of the summer, the coolness of the winter. Spring, autumn, and fall, I shall remove all your splinters. They say in this game to keep your finger upon the trigger. This is a different song, and we are different singers. Yeah, I ain't a loser, then again, I ain't a winner. I'm just a neutral man, trying to keep my head above this quick, saying that we're all drowning in. Trying to hold the oceans in the palm of my hand. Well, it's nice to have you back now. Nice to see you singing loud. I'll drop the beat and then the feet. I love the demons now. Raghupati Raghava Rajarama. This is my anthem. Yes, sir, this is my song. This is what I meditate upon all day long. For whoever brought us here, so have to take us home. Whoever brought us here, yes, you'll have to take us home. Michael Fronti spearhead on the microphone. Whoever brought us here, yes, you'll have to take us home. Shall have to take us home.
Anytime you want me, anytime you need me, anytime you want me, I'll walk right back over again. Anytime you want me, anytime you need me, anytime you want me.
Sing it, Trevor.
Ooh. I watch the stars with a million other people. With a million other people, and I watch the stars with a million other people, and you, my friend, you.
Michael Fronti, and joined by Trevor Hall this afternoon, live from Studio A. They'll both perform tonight at the Newport Music Hall. Doors are at 7 o'clock. Again, we still have a pair of tickets to give away a little bit later on. Music bringing us all together here today and hopefully every day, and with those positive messages that you both bring into your music. And both started at such a young age. And did that writing for you with those positive messages start when you saw Bob Marley when you were 15? Can you talk about that experience? And
well, when I was just starting out, I think the first songs I wrote were about partying in high school, which is really positive, you know. We had a lot of fun, I'll tell you that. but shortly after that, when I got into college, my dorm room was right above the campus radio station, and so I would hear all these, you know, reports from news stories that you wouldn't hear normally on normal radio stations, you know, and from all around the world. And I'd hear music from around the world, and the bass would come up through the floor, and it would shake my room, you know, and so I'd hear the bass lines. And so I bought myself a bass, and that's how I taught myself to play a little bit of bass. And my roommate, we both played basketball at the University of San Francisco. My roommate was 7 feet tall. And he had a Fender Strat.
Well, you're pretty tall yourself.
I'm
though.
6 foot six. Yeah. He had a Fender Strat, which is like the kind of guitar like Jimi Hendrix or Eric Clapton plays. It looks like a pretty, you know, like a good sized guitar, but on him it looked like a ukulele because he was so big. So he would sit on the edge of his bed and he'd play this like Strat that looked like a toy, and I'd play this bass, and I only knew like just two notes. I'd just go back and forth the whole time. You know, and he was actually pretty good. And. So that was the start of my music life. And
you were still rocking out.
I was
though,
still
right?
rocking out, yeah. But I always had this desire to express the voice of people who feel left out. Because when I was a kid, I was born to a mother who's Irish, French, and German. My father's African American, Native American. I was born in the 60s during the Civil Rights Movement, and my parents gave me up for adoption. So I was raised in this family that had three kids of their own, and they adopted myself and another son who was also black. And I just didn't ever feel like I fit in my family all the time, even though, you know, my family had its ups and downs like any family. But I always sort of felt like, man, somewhere I have parents somewhere who are different than this. And so I always had this like affinity with people who feel that way, who feel left out in some way. And so my voice and my songs and, you know, my political message has always been one of inclusion, of inviting all voices to be heard, all voices to have representation and to be not just recognized, but also to be appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the fact that I've read that, you know, it doesn't matter if you're playing in a room full of 12 or 100,000 people, you know, and referencing the basketball, how you play basketball, yeah. And it's kind of like the pickup game that you like.
That's
and
it.
That's I saw you do like a pickup game of soccer back at Red Rocks. And
yeah.
I was like, how cool is that?
Yeah.
And then to know that, I mean, just to have fun and, you know,
yeah.
and and tell the story about Bomb the World and how, I forget where you were, but and the people had to have it translated.
Yeah, well, I was in, the song says we can bomb the world to pieces, but we can't bomb it into peace. And I was taking a trip to Baghdad, and I was going to play the song in Baghdad, and I wanted people to, you know, when I'm playing on the street, I was like, I don't want people to shoot me. So I was like, I wanted to understand why I'm here and what I'm singing about. You know, I'm here in support of peace and ending the war in Iraq. And so I had all these, the song is titled Bomb the World. And so we had all these lyric sheets, hundreds of them printed up and written out in Arabic. And at the top of it, it just said Bomb the World in English. And then it had all this Arabic writing. And I'm going through the airport with these hundreds of sheets of paper. And so I'm like, you know, we're going to Baghdad, man. I don't think we should bring these into the country. So we're sitting there in the airport in Jordan. And there's about six of us, and we're tearing off the top part where it says "Bomb the World" off like 200 sheets of paper. You know,
yeah, they might not want to read the rest of it.
Yeah.
But then, so what?
We flew to Baghdad, and which is a really interesting experience because when you fly in, you go in a 16-passenger airplane from Amman, Jordan. Costs $200. Anybody can buy a ticket and fly there. You don't need any special clearance from the State Department or CIA or anything. You just show up with your passport. It's easier to get into Baghdad than it is to get into Canada. I swear to God, they don't search you or anything, you know.
Seriously.
So we're flying, and the passenger, the pilot, before he comes on and starts up the plane, you know, he gives the whole, like, speech about the seatbelts and stuff, and he says, please put your tray tables up and fasten your seatbelts. And in order to avoid a hit from a SAM-7 surface-to-air soldier launch missile or a small arms fire from the ground, we'll be doing a spiral descent. And it kind of all went by so fast, and I was like, wait,
did he say
spiral and descent? I remember spiral from geometry class. That's the thing that goes round and round, you know? And sure enough, you get right above the airport, and in order to avoid a heat-seeking missile can only make one arc. It can't, like, zigzag all over like in the cartoons. It can just make one arc. So if you're spinning around, it can't follow you. So that's what you do. You just go into a dive bomb, and you spin around like 13 or 14 times before you land on the ground. And so I did the only logical thing, which was... I scare you, man.
But you made it. You made it.
I made it.
You're here in the flesh. Yeah, you scared me just a little bit.
And then
I'm okay.
Then we played on the ground. You know, we played on the street corners. You know, just of Baghdad. I just play like, you know, what me and Trevor are doing here. And people would come up and they would ask about us and where are you from. And then you say, you know, you're the first American we've ever met who's not holding an M16. You're holding a wooden guitar, you know. And they were really, you know, shocked by that. And then after visiting their hospitals and schools and mosques during the day, I'd go and I'd play for U.S. soldiers at night. And I'd walk into this room of guys holding M16s, and I'd be the only guy holding a wooden guitar. And I'd be like, hey, guys, I'm here to sing songs about peace and love, you know. They'd be drinking a beer and polishing their weapons, you know.
Don't say the wrong thing, man.
And they were looking at me like, man, couldn't somebody have sent Jessica Simpson over here to entertain us, you know. But ironically, when I sang the song Bomb the World, they all stopped and paid attention, and we were very quiet. And I went up to each of them afterwards, and they said, you know, man, takes some balls to walk in here and sing a song like that, and we appreciate, you know, your courage in coming here and singing for us. And I talked to them. They're all from places that I play at, you know. They're from places like Eugene, Oregon, and Austin, Texas, and, you know, Columbia, Missouri, and stuff like that. And you realize that there's these guys who are over there and women who are over there who, some of them went over there. I met one guy went there on September 12th, 2001. He signed up the day after September 11th because he thought we were going to be defending our country. And he goes there and he finds out what Saddam had no weapons of mass destruction and there were no, he wasn't involved in 9/11. He's like, what am I doing here? You know, he's like, and so, it's just a lot of people on both sides who I found who are willing to take incredible risks to achieve peace. You know, soldiers who are willing to go in and not just work in the neighborhoods that they're patrolling, but actually create relationships with the people on the street so that they can help them, assist them in getting their homes back together, getting their lives back together. And I met people on the Iraqi side who were doing the same thing. They're like, we want this conflict to end as soon as possible. We're doing everything that we can to achieve peace and safety. Even after our sons and daughters have died in front of us, we're still willing to extend a hand out. So it was a really remarkable trip.
Michael Franti, he's live from Studio A, and we're just thrilled that he's here, and we're thrilled that Trevor is still here too and joining him today. Michael Franti and Spearhead will perform tonight at the Newport. Doors are at 7 o'clock, and again, we still have one pair of tickets to give away after this next song.
Nice. So
what you going to do?
Well, I think I'll do another new song. I've been writing a lot of new songs. In fact, Trevor and I were up last night till really late, later than we should be, because I got this little like laptop studio and I was writing this remix of this song. Trevor was encouraging me and keeping me laughing the whole time. But
what kind of encouragement there, huh?
He was just hanging out.
That part sucks, man. Don't do that.
Yeah, that's what he was. He was giving the big brother encouragement.
No, it wasn't like that.
I'm just teasing.
But anyway, this song is a song that I wrote recently, and it's about hard times. And right now is a time in our country where there's a lot of people who are having a lot of worry about the economy and about just the state of the world. It's really easy to get up in the morning and feel worried and frustrated. And so this is a song about the sunset, which for me is my favorite time of the day, the sunrise and the sunset. Because the sunrise is always filled with hope, and the sunset is like this cleansing thing that when you've had your hopes dashed during the day, it just washes all that worry away. So I wake up in the morning at 6 o'clock. They say there may be rain, but the sun is hot. I wish I had some time just to kill today. And I wish I had a dime for every bill I got to pay. Some days you lose, you win. And the water's as high as the times you're in. So I jump back in where I learned to swim. Try to keep my head above it the best I can. That's why here I am, waiting for this storm to pass me by. That's the sound of sunshine going down. That's the sound of sunshine going down. I saw my friend Bobby, he said, "What's up, man? You got a little work or 20 to lend?" I opened up my hand, he said, "I'm glad to see. They could take away my job, but not my friends, you see. Here I am, waiting for this storm to pass me by. And that's the sound of sunshine going down. And that's the sound of sunshine going down." I say, that's the sound of the sun going down. When the people of the world start to paint the town, a day that's long is a day complete. So kick off your shoes and relax your feet. They say that miracles are never ceasing. Every single soul needs a little releasing. They say that money makes the world go round, but only one thing will help the sun go down. Yes, sweet, sweet love will help the sun go down. It's true, it's true, it's true. And that's the sound of sunshine going down. That's the sound of sunshine going down. And when the sun goes down, all the people say, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All the people say, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All the people say that's the sound of sunshine going down. Come on, Joe. That's the sound of sunshine going down. One more time, one more time. That's the sound of sunshine going down.
sound of sunshine going down so the moon can shine on you. So the moon can shine on you.
Michael Franti with Trevor Hall live from Studio A today. They perform tonight at the Newport Music Hall. Doors are at 7 o'clock. Trevor Hall will go on probably right around 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then Michael Franti to follow. Michael Franti and Spearhead. I'll take lucky caller number 7 for this pair of
tickets.
All
right. Lucky caller number 7.
8219-223 is the number. Talk a little bit about the annual Power to the Peaceful Festival that you put
on. Oh, man. It was so cool this year. We do this festival every year on the weekend closest to September 11th. It actually started on September 11th in 1999. We put on this event that we wanted to draw attention to a number of high-profile death penalty cases that we thought should be reheard again, and also to the fact that the state of California was spending so much money on prisons and taking money out of schools. And so we wanted to say, this is an emergency. We need to be spending money on kids and not on prisons. And so we put on this event. There was 150 different events all around the world by different artists and musicians. And we chose the day September 11th because it's 911, the emergency number. And we did it again in 2000. In 2001, the attacks of September 11th occurred. So this day became something way beyond what we had started. It became a day when we wanted to say that we want to remember September 11th as a day of service, not just a day when we say, you know, remember the loss of life and the pain and the hardship. We want to honor that experience. We also want to say, what can each of us do in our life to make the world a more peaceful and prosperous place for everybody on it, every living thing? And so we brought together hundreds of different social justice organizations and community organizations and gang prevention people, gang members, former gang members, clergy people, people from yoga and the yoga community, and musicians and artists and painters and action sports people, skateboarders and bike riders and stuff. And we put on this big festival, and now it's grown to 70,000 people. And like I said, it's a day where we say, what can we do to make the world a better place? So one day we do the music event in the park, and then the next day we do this conference with this incredible organization called CARE, which does relief work in developing nations, not just by sending food in the form of sacks of corn or direct food aid, but they teach people, give them the science and the technology, the agricultural know-how, so that people can grow their own food, as well as work closely with educating girls, because really the key to eradicating poverty throughout the world is through the education of girls, because they grow up to be the mothers, the heads of households. They educate their children, and that's how people break the cycle of poverty. And so that was the event that we did this year. There was so many people on our website, michaelfranti.com. We just posted a video of the song that I just sang, Sound of Sunshine, out there at the festival, and it was really amazing. I looked at it today, and I was like, wow, there was a lot of people. 70,000 is a lot of people. It's like a sea, an ocean of people. But I think it's time right now that all of us, you know, figure out ways that we can give back, especially when it's hard economic times, especially going into the holiday season now. There's so much need, and it's a good time for families to get together and work on projects, you know, work at a food bank, work in the schools, or even just do something in the neighborhood with the kids in your neighborhood.
Michael Franti, I love the messages that you sent, as you as well, Trevor. And again, I'm just so thrilled that you're here today, and I can't thank you enough. And you can check them out tonight. Doors are at 7 o'clock at the Newport with Trevor Hall to open up at 8 o'clock. And will you play one more for us?
Yeah, I'm going to play one more. This song is a song that, get some water first. I wrote this song in Woody Harrelson's bathroom. And
tell us a little more about that.
Well,
that's all you need to know.
You know, when they say don't snoop in people's medicine cabinets, well, I can tell you, Woody Harrelson has only one medicine in his cabinet, and it's not made by any pharmaceutical company. But Woody invited me to stay at his house and write songs because he was going to be gone working on a film. So he said, just come to L.A. and stay here. It's a really nice place to just be by yourself and you can write, you know. So I had my guitar, and I put some chords on it, and I put it on my little iPod player, and I went in the shower. And I, because of course the shower is the best place in the world to sing, and I start getting this like great vibe. I'm like, oh man, I got these, all these words are coming to me, you know, and so I'm thinking, oh man, I got to remember this all. It's coming so fast, and so I'm thinking, where can I write this down? I look at the steam on the window, and I go, this is perfect. So I start writing it on all the steam in the shower, and I'm like, oh, this is great. I'm singing back along to it, you know, and then I get out of the shower, and I sit there, and the words are slowly disappearing, and I panic, and I'm like, I'm trying to find a pen and paper. I can't. So finally, I just grab my digital camera, and I take a picture of it, and I'm like, yes, I got it licked. You know, I figure technology conquers again. You know, and so I put it in my computer, and open up the picture, and it's inside out, and I can't read anything. So I'm on the phone desperately calling with one of my friends, Carla, who I wrote that first song for, and she's trying to talk me through flipping the photo in Photoshop, which for me is like trying to tell me how to land a 747 while I'm on crack or something, you know. I'm like, what option, what, and you got to hold command shift and oh, you know, like I finally get it flipped backwards and inside out and right side forward. And I'm sitting on the toilet in Woody's house, and Woody calls and he's like, Michael, you know, what you doing? I'm like, bro, I'm on the toilet. Can you call back later? You know, he's like, nah, you know, I just got him in. I'm just calling to see how the songwriting's going. I said, Woody, I think I wrote a hit song in your bathroom. He's like, is it a number one or a number two? So anyway, this song is our first song ever to enter into the top 40. It's at number 10 this week on the pop charts. And we've never had a song in the top 40,000 before, so we're quite thrilled about this. But the week that it went into the top 40, my appendix ruptured. I was on tour. So, yeah, so the doctor's wheeling me down on the gurney into the hospital and into the surgery. And he's like, you know, Michael, this is a lot more serious than we first thought. You've got a lot of infection, you know, this could be fatal. And I'm sitting there going, great, I finally got a song on the radio and I'm not going to live to hear it, you know. But it was really, in the end, it was a welcome reminder of, like, what's important, you know, and to be able to spend time with my family in the hospital was like a really rejuvenating thing and a real, really painful time for me physically, but it was a really growing time for me emotionally and spiritually. And Woody came in to the hospital to visit me, and he's like, bro, you got a lot of stitches there. He goes, let me see if I can get you to laugh and pop a few of those out. So the whole time he was just trying to make me laugh. And I was holding this pillow in front of my stomach just to keep the stitches from popping out. So,
the rascal.
Yeah. So it goes, I say, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back coming around the way. You know, it seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. But I know one thing, that I love you. I say, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back coming around the way. You know, it seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. But I know one thing, that I love you. You know, I've been a lot of places all around the way. I've seen a lot of joy and I've seen a lot of pain, but I don't want to write a love song for the world. I just want to write a song about a boy and a girl. The junkies on the corner always calling my name, and the kids on the corner playing ghetto games. When I saw you getting down, girl, I hope it was you. And when I look into your eyes, I knew it was true. I say, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back, come around the way. You know, it seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. But I know one thing, that I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you.
I'm not a highly metaphysical man, but I know when the stars are aligned, you can bump into a person in the middle of the road, look into the eyes and you suddenly know. Rocking in the dance hall, moving with you, dancing in the night out in the middle of June. My mama told me don't lose you, cause the best luck I had was you. I say, hey, I'll be gone today, I'll be back coming around the way. You know, it seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. But I know one thing, that I love you, baby girl. I love you, I love you, I love you. And I say, rocking in the dance hall, moving with you. Hey, mama, close to you. Rocking in the dance hall, moving with you. I say, hey, papa, kick up your shoes. Rocking in the dance hall, moving with you. Hey, mama, close to you. Rocking in the dance hall, moving with you. I say, hey, mama, 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 hey, mama. Well, my mama told me don't lose you, cause the best luck I had was you. And I know one thing, that I love you. I say, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back coming around the way. You know, it seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. I say, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back coming around the way. It seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. But I know one thing, that I love you, baby girl. I love you, I love you, I love you. It's true, I love you, I love you, I love you. Yes, it's so fun, I love you, I love you, I love you. We rode our bus, I love you, I love you, I love you. To visit Columbus, I love you, I love you.